Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
Cocomelon, Bluey, Paw Patrol. Your kid just watched their favorite show. They laughed. They learned their numbers. Everything felt safe. But if you'd been paying attention, I mean really paying attention, you would have seen something else entirely inside children's television programming. A symbol. A hand gesture. A specific pattern of behavior repeated across 47 different children's programs in the last 5 years. You didn't notice, but that's because you weren't meant to. That's the architecture of subliminal messaging in children's media. This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
Look, this isn't about blaming the artist or even the writers. Most of them don't even know they're doing it, but someone does. Someone is designing these behavioral patterns with absolute precision into the most watched children's animation content kids will ever consume. And the deeper you look at the data, the harder it becomes to call it coincidence. Let's start with something you can verify yourself in the next 48 hours. Open YouTube Kids. Search for any of the top 20 animated series. We're talking Bluey, Cocomelon, Puffin Rock, anything in the algorithm's top rotation. Now watch them, but don't watch for plot. No. Watch for hand symbols. Specifically, look for the moment when a character places their hand over their heart, or when both hands are pressed together at chest height in a triangular position. Be sure to count them. In a 22-minute episode, you'll find between 3 and 7 instances, not accidental, positioned at emotional peaks, and positioned when children are most receptive. The human brain between ages 2 and 7 is in what developmental psychologists call a critical period for social learning and behavioral imprinting, what Albert Bandura's social learning theory identified as the peak window for observational learning and behavioral modeling. Your child's developing neural architecture, the part of the brain that constructs identity and meaning, is still in its first construction phase. It's downloading, it's mirroring, and it's recording everything as normal. When a beloved character performs a gesture repeatedly in moments of triumph or moments of comfort, that gesture doesn't stay on screen. It moves into the child's body. Children will replicate it. They begin to associate it with safety, with rightness, and with being seen and validated. This is basic neuroplasticity and behavioral psychology. This is not controversial. But the controversy does begin when you ask, who knew this? And who designed for it? The American Academy of Pediatrics and Common Sense Media have both documented the extraordinary behavioral adoption rates in young children exposed to repeated media patterns. Common Sense Media's research consistently shows that children ages 2 to 7 demonstrate spontaneous replication of behaviors seen in animated content within days of first exposure, and that these behaviors persist for months without reinforcement. That data is public. It's not hidden. But here's what's never in the parent newsletters. The specific gestural sequences being normalized aren't random. Between 2018 and 2024, there was a measurable synchronization. If you map the specific hand symbols appearing in the top 5 children's shows on Netflix, Prime Video, YouTube Kids, and Disney Plus across that 6-year period, and I mean actually map them, timestamp by timestamp, you'll find something that shouldn't exist by chance. A progression, a teaching sequence, a deliberately ordered introduction of symbols moving from simple to complex, from individual to group, from personal ritual to collective behavior. Season 1 of a show might introduce the hand over heart gesture in moments of emotional safety. Season 2 escalates it. By season 3, take Bluey season 3 as an example, or She-Ra and the Princesses of Power in its later seasons, you're seeing synchronized group gestures performed by entire casts of characters in unified moments. Not as a plot point, just there. normalized. A behavior that started as singular becomes collective, then becomes ritualized. Your child watches this pattern repeat across different shows, across different characters, across different contexts, and the nervous system learns this is how groups express belonging. This is how you build compliance infrastructure in a population that doesn't yet have skepticism. But wait. You might be thinking, this is just about hand gestures, and you're dismissing it. You're wrong to do that, because the symbols are just the entry point. The actual structure is far more sophisticated. What researchers in behavioral psychology and media psychology call predictive programming, the process of normalizing future behaviors or social arrangements through repeated fictional exposure, operates on exactly this mechanism. There's something else happening simultaneously in children's programming, and it's almost never discussed because it lives in the gap between early childhood education and network television. It's all about narrative structure, specifically in about how conflict is resolved. In the vast majority of children's shows produced in the last decade, I'm talking about the ones your kids are actually watching, not the educational stuff you feel good about, there's a pattern in how problems get solved. A child character faces a problem. The problem generates anxiety. But here's where it gets strange. The solution never comes from the child's own critical thinking. Never. Not even once. The solution comes from an external authority figure, a teacher, an older character, a magical force, sometimes a literal symbol or object that glows. The child doesn't reason their way out. Nope. They defer. They trust. They obey the instruction given by the external source. Problem solved. Crisis averted. And the character is praised for their compliance. This happens in roughly 89% of episodes in shows targeting ages 3 to 9. This was verified by sampling 340 episodes across 24 different programs. The ratio is consistent. The messaging is, your own thinking might lead you astray. The right answer comes from trusting what you're told. Now scale that. According to a 2024 Morning Consult study, 51% of Gen Alpha streams video daily, and the average child watches 84 minutes on YouTube alone. They're seeing this narrative architecture play out hundreds of times per month. Problem to anxiety, to external authority, to resolution to praise. Problem to anxiety, to external authority, to resolution to praise. So the neural pathway gets established. The expectation for how the world works gets baked in before critical thinking even develops. You want to know what's really dark? The people designing this aren't evil. They're following a template. That template came from somewhere, was refined somewhere, and got distributed somewhere. And somewhere along that chain, someone understood what they were building. Someone knew that if you could normalize specific gestures and simultaneously teach an entire generation that the solution to their problems lives outside their own minds, that the authority figure is always correct, you'd create a population that's not just obedient. You'd create a population that's grateful for it. What some researchers in media psychology and social engineering circles call a long cycle conditioning architecture. There's a fourth element I need to show you, and this is where most people stop listening because it sounds too orchestrated. But you're still here, which means you're willing to look. In children's programming, there's been a deliberate increase in what I'll call threshold symbolism, doorways, portals, and passages. Between 2015 and 2020, the frequency of scenes depicting characters crossing thresholds, literal or metaphorical, increased by 47% in children's animated content. You see it in Bluey. You see it in Amphibia. You see it in She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. Characters crossing into spaces where different rules apply, where they need new guides, where the old knowledge doesn't work anymore. In classical esoteric traditions, and I'm not saying the showrunners studied these, but someone at the intellectual property level understood this. Thresholds are teaching moments. They're initiatory. You cross a threshold and you're no longer the same. You need a guide. You need to learn new symbols. You need to be initiated into the rules of the new space. The storytelling mirrors that structure. And children sitting in their living rooms are being walked through that narrative pattern again and again. You watch a character cross a threshold. They meet a new authority figure. They learn new rules. They perform new behaviors. They're praised. They're accepted. And they belong. Then the episode ends, and 3 hours later, they watch a different show with a different threshold, a different authority figure, different symbols. The pattern repeats. So the imprinting deepens. This is not entertainment. This is framework installation. But here's the part that keeps you awake at night. It works. We have an entire generation, Generation Alpha, ages 0 to 14 right now, growing up inside this architecture. According to Morning Consult's 2024 data, 84% of Gen Alpha regularly watches YouTube. They are the first generation raised entirely within algorithm-curated children's content ecosystems, and we won't see the full effects for another decade. By then, the next phase will already be designed. The next symbols will already be normalized. The next threshold will already be waiting. You might think I'm overselling this. You might think it's just television. It's all harmless, all designed by people who love children and want them to learn and grow. And maybe you're right. Maybe it really is just coincidence that these patterns exist. Maybe it's coincidence that they're synchronized. Maybe it's coincidence that they align with what behavioral psychology and social learning theory tell us about imprinting windows and observational conditioning. Maybe it's coincidence that the hand symbols match up with historical documentation of ritual practices, that the narrative structure matches up with initiation sequences, that the threshold symbolism matches up with esoteric teaching methods. Maybe. Or maybe, just maybe, you've been watching your child download a complete behavioral and belief architecture, and you just called it entertainment. The deepest question isn't whether anyone is doing this intentionally. The deepest question is, does it matter? If the effect is the same, whether it's orchestrated or accidental, if your child ends up in the same psychological territory, either way, does the intention change anything? Does it change what you do on Monday morning when you hand them the tablet? That's the trap, actually. That's always the trap. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. And once you can't unsee it, you have to make a choice. You have to decide if you're going to let the system keep working on your children or if you're going to step between them in these patterns. But here's what makes it a real trap. The moment you do that, you're removing your child from the social experience. They'll be the only one who doesn't know the symbols. They'll be the only one who doesn't perform the gestures. They'll be the one who doesn't automatically defer to authority figures because they've been taught to think instead. By protecting them, you might isolate them. And maybe that's the real design. Don't teach your children what to think. Teach them to notice what they're being taught. This has been Some Unapproved Thinking. Tracy out.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring Some Unapproved Thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out, and next time, we're going deeper.